So why do we need these? Why do we need these reminders? Because samsara is very convincing, alluring, ensnaring. Gampopa describes it as vicious. What struck me when I was just thinking about this talk was that there's an inner consistency to samsara. So we'll need to define samsara, but I'll do that in a minute. It's got an inner consistency, and actually what came to mind was madness and sanity. Now, I happen recently to have been in the company of a friend who, someone I've known for a long time anyway, had her acquaintance for a long time, and happened to be there when she suffered a delusional episode. And what struck me was the inner consistency of that delusion. It was really strong. It was really held together. There were threads from, you know, normal life. There were people in it, who myself was one of them, who become entangled in that web of, you know, delusional state that she fell into, got a grip on her, couldn't get out of it. So apart from witnessing just, you know, there's the suffering of seeing someone in that situation. But then there was the suffering of seeing that she was convinced by it. And that's really struck me. It struck me really deeply. Just obviously it's so convincing, and it's got its own inner congruency and makes sense in its own way. Well, the Buddha's response to us and all other beings who are not enlightened is somewhat similar. In fact, you know, the Buddha did it describe worldlings, so anyone not enlightened, worldlings, as being like madmen or madwomen. But from an enlightened point of view, the kind of things we get up to, the kind of things that convince us, the patterns and the stories and the way that we see things has its own inner consistency, yet it's, from an enlightened point of view, it's founded on nothing. It's founded on delusion. It's founded specifically on the delusion of self, of I and me and mine, and grasping onto that and defending it. So I suppose that's not quite something to take on board, that there's an inner consistency to our unenlightened madness, in a way, that in its own way is just as mad and just out of kilter with how things are as I think when I see someone who's in a delusional state, psychotically, or at least psychologically anyway, delusional state. So that's quite something to take on board, that from another point of view, I am in that place too. So maybe just something else to think about. But anyway, to turn to the actual text. It's called the Jewel Ornament of Liberation. As I say, I've been involved in about three retreats recently when we've used this text. So there's an introduction. Gampopa writes an introduction. And we called the introduction Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered. Although you possibly have to be a certain age before you know the reference to that. But generally speaking, Gampopa says everything comes under two headings, one or other of two headings, samsara and nirvana. Both of them are empty. Both of them are characterized by emptiness, shunyata. The hallmark of samsara, though, is bewilderment. Its primary characteristic is suffering, which is the result of this bewilderment. So suffering is a consequence of things. It doesn't in itself produce other things, but it's a consequence of this bewilderment. The hallmark of nirvana, on the other hand, is lack of bewilderment. And its primary characteristic is liberation from suffering, or liberation from the misery which happens in the presence of bewilderment. So there's a lot of Bantis in the 80s did seminars on this text, nearly the whole text. And in the seminar in this introduction, he says these are about samsara and nirvana seen in this way, as Gampopa describes them. They're about attitudes of mind. It's not a place here and a place somewhere else, or a lower and a higher, or anything like that. Think of them as being about attitudes of mind. Don't think of them as things, and don't think of them as places, but they're about attitudes of mind. An attitude of mind that's characterized by bewilderment, that's samsara. If it's characterized by freedom from that, or clarity, some degree of clarity, that's nirvana. It's not necessarily complete enlightenment, of course, but it's something that leads to that. So everything that's has that attitude of bewilderment is connected with the wheel of life. And once you start to get away from that onto the spiral, as Bhante described those nidanas, then that's more to do with nirvana. It's to do with that nirvana approach to things. So there are two interpretations of our experience. You could think of it like that. Both of them are empty, shunyata, if you know that term. But one's characterized by bewilderment, and the other is free from that. So then Gampopa gives some more information about this bewilderment and says, who is bewildered? So I'll just read out the questions. It's a very systematic writer. I love it. It's great. I know it doesn't appeal to everyone, but I really love it. Who is bewildered? Everyone. All sentient beings in the three realms are bewildered. Where does it come from? From shunyata. So I read that and went, oh, that doesn't seem to make sense. And it read on. And what are we confused about? Well, we're confused in relation to shunyata, in relation to emptiness. We're confused about it. We read something solid and fixed and substantial into our experience. So in that way, we're confused about shunyata. We're confused about emptiness. What's the motive behind, or the cause behind bewilderment? Great ignorance. Lack of awareness of what actually is. Lack of awareness of how things actually are. Where does this bewilderment operate? It operates in all six realms. What's it like? It's like being asleep, because you're not awake. Or it's dreamlike. So there are appearances in it that are very, very convincing, have their own inner consistency, but actually are a dream. In a metaphorical way, I don't think that's meant literally, but metaphorically, they're dreamlike, because we're convinced by something, reading something into it that isn't actually there. When, of course, you wake up, you go, oh, that was a dream. To be able to have that awareness within the dream, that might be equivalent to some sort of insight experience. Metaphorically equivalent to it. And this bewilderment, he carries on, has existed since beginningless time, is vicious, as can be seen by the misery that happens as a result. And then another question, is it possible to transform bewilderment into transcendental awareness, transcending awareness? Could it possibly be transformed? Yes, on attaining enlightenment. Will it disperse by itself? No. So, another question. Given all this, it's the nature of enlightenment that lets us escape from bewilderment. Now, given all this, what is the nature of enlightenment that lets us escape from bewilderment? And what's the use of striving after it? So I kind of think, yeah, I don't know why I like it. He just has these questions, and they're often the questions that come into my mind on occasion. So I quite like this kind of text where you go and you get an answer to those.